Welcome to another message from Life Point Church, located at 400 South Abilene in Valley Center, Kansas. For more information on Life Point Church, go to our website at lpcag.org. It is our prayer to invest in generations to influence community. And now with today's message, here's Pastor Steve Raines.
How many of you this past week, as your week went on and Friday hit, used the expression TGIF? Man, you were just like glad it is Friday, right? And you couldn't wait for it. Then it came and it went and you're like, oh no, now I got to wait for another one, right? You know, got like a record player there for a second. Sorry about that. As I was thinking about that, my mind went back to when I was a kid, and it wasn't Friday as a kid. What day was it? It was Saturday, man. Remember that? It was like Looney Tunes, and it was Scooby-Doo, and it was eating cold pizza from the night before for breakfast, and it was your hair sitting in your footy pajamas until 11 o'clock, and your hair looked like it was combed with the egg beater, and you just did not care. It was great. Life was awesome. You turned to a teenager. Saturday was like wake up at 10:30, or you could see if you could press the envelope and go a little bit further and crack the noon hour. How many of you ever slept past noon as a teenager? All right, a few of us. And those are like, I mean, life was easy peasy back then, right? It was just awesome. And now you can't sleep past like 5, right? At the heart of our faith, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday are crucial. Friday was the cost of our sin and at the expense of God's grace. Sunday was a day we both celebrate, and it was an encouraging day, and it's a day that we're like, yes, thank God for Sunday. But Saturday fell between Sunday and Friday. It came after the Friday, but Sunday hadn't happened yet. It's the gap. It's a day that you don't expect. It's a day that seems to be long, like a long, long, long day, maybe like your Friday felt while you were working or getting back into the routine of school. It was long. It was kind of like watching that show years ago, 24, if any of you ever watched that with Jack Bauer, you know? And it just, I mean, there was more that happened within that 24-hour period than like it would be fathomable, but you're Jack Bauer and you can do it, right? And at the heart of human history are these 3 days, Friday through Sunday. I mean, Friday you can talk about forever. And Sunday you can talk about forever. Friday, our sins were paid for. It's all about redemption and propitiation, big theological words, and ransom for our sins. Sunday, it's about our hope through resurrection life. It's about reconciliation and restoration and adoption. That's Sunday. Saturday, it's a day without a name. Oftentimes, it's best described as the gap. Things are foggy. Things can be cold and barren and empty. On that Saturday, there's great silence, but also on that Saturday, behind the scenes, what may seem far removed from us, God is working. God is functioning. God is in control. Listen, hell trembled. I believe hell trembled because the Savior of the world holds the title prior to Good Friday and the Resurrection Sunday. Still, the Savior of the world at that point held the title of the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. So this morning, I want us to think about Saturday for a bit. Not from the backside of Sunday, which we like to look at it from, but from the disciples' perspective. What do you do on a Saturday? What do you do when you find yourself in that gap? How do you respond to that? Friday was horrific and it was helpless. Saturday is empty and eerily quiet as you try to process, what do I do now? What next step do I take? How do I get through this situation? Have you ever been there? You know, Saturday, in many ways, if I could just paint a picture, I don't know if you remember this, but one of the things that I remember post 9/11 days following 9/11 was the eerie quietness of the sky. As you would step out, we lived in Goodland, Kansas, and so there's like no major regional airports around Goodland, Kansas. But I can remember still to this day stepping out, whether it was outside of the church or out in the backyard, and just listening, and there was absolutely no air travel. Silence. That's your Saturday. That's the gap. Disciples gathered quietly, perhaps, on that day. They remembered his teachings, maybe, as they sat around and just tried to process the events of their gap. They were wrestling with the unthinkable thought, did God fail? Did he not have enough followers? Did he couldn't win over the chief priests? He couldn't bring them to his time, to his team, excuse me, and so did God fail? Was he not able to persuade Rome? And so this happened, and now we have no hope. Now we have no answer. Do we just waste 3 years of our life? It's the gap. My guess is there may have been or will be a time or two when you have those same thoughts. It's your Saturday thoughts. And then think about what Jesus said through this process, through these days, and think about what he didn't say. Jesus didn't say, as he walked into these 3 days of time, he never said, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He didn't say, the Lord is my life and my salvation. But you know one of the things he did say? My God, why have you forsaken me? That's the gap. The disciples, you know, I'm sure they heard, wasn't this the one that the angels proclaimed as Emmanuel, God with us? The one who, when he was baptized, heaven parted and a voice descended that said, man, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. Powerful statements of encouragement and proclamation. But now he's dead. Not just dead, but abandoned. I mean, Saturdays, When you're in that gap, Saturdays can mess with you, can't they? On the Saturday, they remembered the one who would betray Jesus. I'm sure Peter was thinking, man, I should have not put away the sword. I should have just went to town and maybe it would have changed the situation. And they are thinking about Judas, who betrayed their Savior with a kiss, and that's where we get the statement or the phrase, the kiss of death, from Judas's kiss. And they remember what Jesus called Judas as this was unfolding in Matthew chapter 26, verse 50, where Jesus said this, friend, do what you came to do quickly. Peter, remembering that he had denied him 3 times, now only grieving that his Lord is dead, but the guilt of his contribution to that death. That's Saturday. That's the gap. Saturday is where you wonder what's next, or Saturday is where you wonder, is there next? You been there? It's the gap. What are Saturdays? Saturday is the day when your best dreams, you feel, have died. It's the day you have to go on to, but you don't know how and you don't know why. Why is there a Saturday? Let me ask you a question that perhaps probably none of us ever thought about. Why is there a Saturday in the story of Jesus? Why? How does it benefit the story? Why a gap? If he is going to be resurrected, why wait? Why not just be resurrected at 9 o'clock Friday night? Because then it would be truly TGIF, right? Why wait? Why this day in between? There's a reason. Friday, Saturday, and Sunday lie at the heart of the ancient calendar, and in the pages of Scripture, both old and new, you see a three-day pattern, or you see three things coming in threes, and I'm not going to make a case for numerology at all this morning. In fact, we're not going to take hardly any time of there, but it's very interesting, this three-day concept throughout the pages of Scripture. And how many of you know, sometimes you don't know if you're in a three-day thing. Some day, Saturday just keeps repeating and repeating and repeating and repeating, right? Matthew chapter 12, verse 40 tells us this. Just as Jonah, this is Jesus talking, was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the great fish, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. In Matthew chapter 26, verse 61, a religious leader is speaking. He said, this man said, I am able to destroy the temple of God and to rebuild it in 3 days. In Mark chapter 9, verse 31, he was teaching his disciples, saying to them, the Son of Man is going to be delivered into the hands of man, and they will kill him. And when he is killed, after 3 days, he will rise. Paul, addressing a first century church, a bunch of believers that were young in their faith, the church hadn't been around very long at all, says this in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, for I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received from received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scripture, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance to the Scripture. Why? I mean, something significant about three-day patterns. In fact, in the Old Testament, you even see it. These three-day stories. In Genesis chapter 22, the father of our faith, Abraham, you read his account in reference to his son Isaac. And you see in verse 1 and 2 the difficulty of obedience. And then you dive into the story, verses 3 through 5, and it says, so Abraham rose early in the morning. God has asked Abraham to take his son and put his son, his one and only son, the one who was supposed to be the promise of the covenant, and put him on the altar and offer him to the Lord. And it's the difficulty of obedience, and that leads into verse 3. So Abraham rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, and took two of his young men with him, and his son Isaac, and he cut the wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. On the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place from afar. Then Abraham said to his young men, stay here with the donkey. I and the boy will go over there and worship and come again to you. It's the gap. It's the third day. You see it again in Genesis chapter 42. Joseph, being his brothers, Joseph is now in a place of great influence and great leadership there in Egypt, and the famine in the land of Israel, and his brothers come to him, not knowing that Joseph is the one communicating to them, if you remember the story, and Joseph recognizes his brother, recognizes who it is, and he holds the brothers for 3 days in prison, and then he says, go and get your other brother that's at home and bring him here, and if you don't come, then this one brother that's still in prison will stay there 3 days. You see it with Esther, you see it in Esther chapter 4, you see it with Joshua in Joshua chapter 2, this idea of this three-day scenario where the spies went into Jericho and were spying out the land. They met this Rahab, a prostitute by the name of Rahab, and she takes them and hides them in her place up on the roof. And the guards are looking, searching for these spies. They know that they're there, and she hides them because she understands that God is doing and God is using Israel, and God's going to bring deliverance through Israel. And she understands the power of God over this nation, and so she hides them. And then she makes a statement in verse 15. Then she let them down by a rope through a window, for her house was built into the city wall, so that she lived in the wall. And she said to them, go into the hills, or the pursuers will encounter you, and hide there 3 days until the pursuers have returned. And then afterward, you may go on your way. So the reoccurring pattern within Scripture regarding 3 days is simply this. See it with the resurrection. You see it with these two, these others that are referenced from the Old Testament. Day one is trouble. Day two, trouble. Day three, deliverance. You don't know it's a third day story, though, until when? Until what? Till the third day. Sometimes you don't know if there is a third day in the midst of it. Saturday is a day of silence. You call out to God and nothing happens. In addition to the pain of Friday, there is the Saturday pain of silence, the pain of confusion, the pain of trying to process the situation. And sometimes that Saturday seems like Groundhog Day, doesn't it? It just repeats itself over and over, and you don't know what to do. You don't know if you should ask anymore. You don't know if you should just try to patch it up yourself. Sometimes you feel like the prophet Elisha, doing what he did before Elijah came and put the mantle upon him. Do you know what Elisha was doing before the mantle? He was plowing the fields every day, day after day. He would yoke up the oxen and he would head out to the field doing what he did the day before, plowing. All he had, his view was the backside of an oxen. The dust kicking up in his feet, the stink kicking up in his feet. But you know what he was doing? He kept plotting. And in his plotting, God was preparing him. And I want to encourage you, in your Saturday, keep plotting, because God is working, even though you don't see. He is the Alpha and the Omega. He is working. He is orchestrating. He is preparing you for your new day. So if you feel like your Saturday has been DVR'd, keep plowing. Here's the problem, though. I like what John Ortberg said about three-day stories. The problem with the third-day story is you don't know if it's a third-day story until the third day. When it's Friday, when it's Saturday, as far as you know, deliverance is never going to happen. It may just be a one-day story, and that one day of trouble may be the rest of your life, excuse me. In the sports world, the Kansas City Royals were a third day story for the past few seasons, right? I mean, we know what the story was like 5-6 years ago. It was like, oh, we have a baseball team in Kansas City? But then they enter in and they get on this thing, and last year was like a third day story. Now, if you're a Cub fan, are there any Cub fans in the house? A couple of you are like, you're brave enough, right? If you're a Cub fan, I've come to the conclusion it's always Friday. It's always Friday because they haven't won a pennant over 100 years. Just when you think it's going to happen, a guy interferes. Go ahead and put that up on the screen, if you would. A guy interferes and steals the catch of a foul ball, which could have put them into the World Series. If you're a Cubs fan, it's like Friday all the time. Hopefully, though, this year there's optimism, right? So what do you do if it's always Friday and you're a Cub fan? How do you survive as a Cub fan the same way you survive parenting adolescents sometimes? You lower your standards, right? No, you don't do that. All right? Just kidding. Just seeing if you're with me. What you do when you're in the gap, when your Friday and Saturday are always on the clock. I like what C.S. Lewis put, and you can pull that guy off the screen. That's a bad day. C.S. Lewis wrote this in his memoirs about coming to faith in Jesus. He called it surprised by joy. He called it that because that phrase was from William Wordsworth's poem that he really enjoyed. And so he called his book Surprised by Joy. That book is about how his love for joy led him to faith in Jesus. When Lewis wrote the book, he was 57 years old. He was a bachelor. He had met a woman named Joy, whom, after the book was published, he ended up marrying her. His friends would always tease him that he really had been surprised by Joy after 57 years of being a bachelor, right? And after a lifetime of waiting, Lewis knew love only briefly, because Joy died soon after they were married of cancer, a lingering, very painful death. And so Lewis wrote another book, A Grief Observed. In it, he writes this, and it's a Saturday book, really. He says this, when you're happy, so happy you have no sense of needing God, so happy you are tempted to feel his claims upon you as an interruption. If you remember yourself and turn to him with gratitude and praise, you will be, or so it feels, welcomed with open arms. But go to him when your need is desperate. When all other help is vain, what do you find? A door slammed in your face, a sound of bolting, a double bolting from the inside of the door. After that, silence. You may as well turn away. The longer you wait, the more emphatic that silence will become. What can this mean? You've been there? Experienced that. You had a dream in your life, for your marriage, for your work, for your future, for your family. And the dream dies, so it feels, and it's Friday. What do you do? See, you have three options when Saturday comes. Option number one is despair. If you despair, you always decide this. If you enter in there and that's where you want to camp, you always decide this, that it is always Friday. The early church wasn't accustomed to that. That wasn't a foreign experience to them. For in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the early church experienced that. Some in the early church felt that way. In chapter 15, verse 12, we read this, that now if Christ is proclaimed as raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? See, they had lost their hope. They had lost their focus. They had lost the reality of what their faith is based upon. They are in despair. And so that's an option. Second option is this, denial. It's a simplistic explanation that you give to your situation. It's the easy answer. It's the forced optimism that you try to manufacture. And that too is found within the early church. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, or chapter 2, verse 18, the early church experienced that as well. It says, who have swerved from the truth, Paul is writing these early believers, saying that the resurrection has already happened, so they are upsetting the faith of some, that they're saying, hey, look, Jesus already, the resurrection's already happened, and you missed it, you didn't have enough faith to experience it, you didn't have enough faith to encounter it. It's denial. Or third option is this, on your Saturday, you wait. You wait on the Lord. Takes us back to a verse that we looked at a few weeks ago in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31. We won't take a lot of time to look at it. But they who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up on with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. That doesn't mean to be passive, inactive, fatalistic in your situation. If you know anything about eagles, and I love seeing the beauty and the majesty of an eagle in its natural element, and just how majestic they are and how easy they make it look. But one of the things in reading some books on eagles is that one of the things that they look for when a storm is approaching, and all the other wildlife, all the other creatures around them are hunkering down into a place of safety, that the eagle will use the wind drafts of that storm coming in to lift up above it and to soar above that storm. And I pull away from that and I think, okay, in light of this, what does that mean? What is some truth from Isaiah 40, 31? It means that whatever I do as I wait for Sunday, I wait with him. It's not good grammar, but I learned this. He gots me in the gap. God's like, I got this. As you wait on me, I got this. You can be with God on Saturday, listen to me, and I know this isn't easy, but it's a reality. For any of us that have passed through the gap, you know it to be true, and it is now a bedrock. It's a strength to you. And it's this, you can be with God on a Saturday that you can't be with him on any other day of the week. because on Saturday, you know that he is your only hope. It's kind of like this, if we could explain it this way, trapeze artists, right? Those guys at the circus that you look at and you think you are absolutely insane for doing that. There's two kinds of artists, trapeze artists. There is the flyer and there is the catcher, right? The flyer must fly and the catcher must catch the flyer. And the flyer will tell you that he is not the star of the show. He will tell you that the catcher is the star of the show. The flyer must trust that the catcher will catch. He must go with outstretched arms, trusting that the catcher will be there waiting, right? And here is a picture that captures how scary it is for us to wait, how scary it is the waiting is. And some of you may like think, oh, I can't believe he showed that in church, but this is so funny. Go ahead. Right? The sumo wrestler's coming at you. And it raises the question. You can get off that screen. Right, there we go. Don't want to wreck your eyesight today. But it's a great picture because it forces the question, what if the catcher isn't strong enough? What if his hands are sweaty? What if he can't be trusted? That is Saturday. What is amazing about our Saturday is Jesus, let me tell you, and I know you know this, if you've been to church at all, you know this, that Jesus goes through our Saturday. We read a couple scriptures already from Luke chapter 24, verse 26, where 3 days in the belly of the whale, so the Son of Man will be in the belly of the earth, but on the third day. You read in Matthew chapter 12, verse 40 as well. And you think, but was he there for 3 days? I mean, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, you know. And how many know? 3 days can be little 24 hours, or it's all depends on how you count it, right? I mean, for the husband that's been away for what the wife says, 3 days, and he gets home and she's like, man, I missed you so much. And you know, I don't think you should go play golf tomorrow because you've been gone for 3 days and we've missed you. And the husband may look at his wife and say, I wasn't gone for 3 days. I was here Friday morning. You saw me Friday morning. I didn't see you Saturday, but I'm back on Sunday. So really I was only gone 1 day, right? How many know 3 days sometimes is perspective, right? Who's right in that? Was he gone 1 day or was he gone 3 days? He's a wise man. He's like, my wife said I was gone 3 days. I was gone 3 days. Right? My story is like your story in that it's a 3-day story sometimes. You have trouble, more trouble, and then God delivers. God is present at work on your Saturday. You know, even the writers of the Apostle Creed kind of encouraged and exhorted us in that when you look at the Apostle Creed. Because it mentions that Jesus descended into hell. In fact, 1 Peter writes about that very truth, that Jesus descended into hell and he was active in the midst of that despair. Part of the meaning of that is that there is no suffering that you would go through that Jesus isn't able to save you from. The miracle of Sunday is a dead man lives, that Jesus lives. The miracle of Saturday is that the eternal Son of God dies. And if you can find Jesus in a grave, in death, in hell, where can you not find him? Because some of you, as you walk through your Saturday, as we walk through Saturdays, sometimes we walk through thinking, I am alone on this one. God's checked out on me or something because I don't feel him at all. I don't sense him at all. And if I can submit to you, just as Jesus was he was crucified, he was buried, and then on the third day he rose. But in that time of activity, things were happening. And God is working. It's almost humorous as you look at the resurrection story. Whatever your pain, whatever your regret, whatever your confusion, your question, whatever it may be, it's only Saturday and Sunday's coming. When you look at the accounts of the resurrection story throughout the Gospels, it's kind of humorous, or at least I find it humorous, some of the responses and the initial interactions that Jesus has with his followers or with the women. And it's almost like, you know, Jesus has this interaction with them and he's, hey, I'm alive. And it's almost like Jesus responds with, hey, hi, what did you expect? See, our hope is not about our financial security. It's not about our present situation or reality. It's not about our pain or our frustration. It's not about our health accomplishments, although all of those things can be concerns, all those things can be worth celebrating. Our hope is not in this world or the ability to solve problems or our strength. It's about Sunday. It's about the resurrection. It's about the because of the resurrection, suddenly the gap closes down. And you're not looking at something that seems insurmountable. You're looking at something that is doable because you serve the God of the resurrection. Because the God of Friday and Saturday is also the God of Sunday, and Sunday is always coming. Can I just encourage you to shrink your gap with that truth? See your situation, again, not to minimize any of the situations that are faced or some of you are facing, not to minimize any situations that people in our community are facing, but when you see it through the lens of the resurrection, when you see it through the lens of the three-day story, you know that it's going to come out for God's glory. So as we pray and as we worship this morning, you may be in a place of despair. You may be in a place of denial. But God wants to get all of us, if we're not there, to the place of waiting. Because it's in that place, Pastor Michael and the team, if you guys would come, it's in that place of waiting where you hear him speak to you. Sometimes you don't even hear him speak to you, but you know you're in his presence. And when you're in his presence, you know you're in a good place. And when you're in his presence, you know that the problem solver is working on your behalf. And all we need to do is hear his voice, yield to his promptings, as Abraham walked in obedience even through a difficult three-day situation, right? And God came through. This morning, I don't know what day you're at or what day you're facing, but I know the one who numbers our days, and he's faithful, and he's working, and he is able to do great things in the midst of the gap. God, I pray this morning, as I think about Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31, Lord, we find ourselves going back there. We looked at it just weeks ago. But God, I pray for hope, Lord, to arise within the Saturdays that we face, God. And right now in life, I realize not all of us are experiencing a Saturday. Man, we're celebrating a Sunday, and it's been a great long Sunday. But Lord, for others, it's very real to them, their Saturday. And so, Lord, I pray that hope would resonate and that they would rise up in hope, that their strength, Lord, as we worship you, God, they may feel like they don't have any strength. God, they don't have anything to offer. God, may they just offer you themselves. God, for those that, like, singing songs is not necessarily an easy thing or where they find their connection with you. God, if they just want to remain seated during this time and just draw near to you in the stillness of their heart, In the stillness of their mind, as people just step into your presence, God, I pray that their strength would be renewed. God, that truly that they would soar on the wings like an eagle. God, that they'd be able to run, that they'd be able to walk. God, if anyone's here this morning and they need to make you their Lord and Savior because they're sick of their Saturday, they're sick of the ongoing cycle of sin in their life and they need resurrection power to break that. They need transformation to happen in their life. God, during this time of worship, I pray, Lord, that they would call out to you, make yourself known to them as they open themselves up to you. Lord, we love you.
This concludes today's message. We hope you can join us next Sunday for services beginning at 10:30 at Life Point Church, located at 400 South Abilene in Valley Center. To get more information on Life Point Church, go to our website at lpcag.org. And we hope you can join us next Sunday with Pastor Steve Raines.